My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to be another teaching in Thessalonians. And we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So get your Bibles out and get your pencils and papers out. This is a Bible study, and we're going verse by verse. And we're going to continue to go through 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to go through 2 Thessalonians. And I think you're going to enjoy these. It's just tremendous what we have here. And I just think that I just hope you go along with me through teaching this, because this will help you learn how to read the Bible and understand it. And that's tremendously important. But the most important thing, so that you can read the Bible, is the fact that you truly understand the gospel, and that you truly believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose again. Because that's salvation for today. To believe the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And when you do that, see, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. And what that means is that you're going to have God living in you. And he's just going to open up your eyes, and you'll be able to understand things you never understood before. Just while we're talking about that, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians. Turn back to the left, and let me show you what I'm talking about, how important it is to believe the gospel, and so that you can understand the Word of God. It says in First Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verses 14. It says, but the natural man, that's what I was my whole life. I was just a natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You see, because I didn't believe the gospel for my salvation until I was almost 70 years old. See, I never was taught it. No one taught me the gospel until I was 70 years old. And it wasn't a church. It was a man by the name of Les Feldick, who's a cattle buyer. He sells cattle for a living. And that's what he does for a living. But he preaches and teaches the Word of God. And I listened to him, and he showed me the gospel. And the second I heard it, I knew it was true. And then I started searching the scriptures, and God opened my eyes up, and I accepted the gospel as my salvation. And he just opened your eyes up, and you can understand the Word you never could before, because you have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can they know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So if you truly want to understand this gospel, you need to truly come to the gospel for your salvation. And all it takes is just to sit down and say, Lord, I believe this gospel. I truly believe the gospel that Christ died for my sins, and that he was buried and he rose from the dead. You just tell him that. And the second you do, your eyes will be opened up. And boy, you can go with this, and you can spend hours in the scripture. Enjoy every bit of it, because you've got God's brain in you then. I mean, he actually gave me 100 more IQ points than the Bible. It was fantastic. And so this is my prayer for you, to know the gospel so God can open your eyes so you can understand these words. And that's the most important thing in the world. So we're in chapter 2 now, and we're just going to say verse 1. It says, for yourself, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. We see it was not in vain. When he came to them, boy, I mean, he only was there for 4 weeks. 4 weeks, they learned more in 4 weeks than I learned in 70 years going to church. You see, they learned more than 4 weeks by a long shot than I lived 70 years going to the churches. And I was involved in them up to my ears. I never missed a church. I actually even had church in my house for 18 years, but never anybody ever preached the gospel. See, never did. Okay, but even after we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, he said, but we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel. Now, we know what the gospel is now, of God, which must, with much contention. Where was this in Philippi? What happened in Philippi? Let's turn to, this is a Bible study. What happened to him in Philippi? Let's look at Acts chapter 16. Turn back to the left. Acts chapter 16, and let's look at verses 16. Acts chapter 16 and verses 16. And it says here, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain maid possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much gain by soothsaying. the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who show us unto the way of salvation." And this did this she many days. And Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto her, "Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they called Paul and Silas, and they threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." See, they were mad because that woman couldn't, he took that demon out of her, and she couldn't do all the things she was doing. He was making money off of her, and teach customs which were not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beat. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they were 39 stripes, they beat him with a cat of nine tails. They cast them into prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely. I mean, Paul was beaten tremendously. But think about it. Beaten with the cat of nine tails, just like Jesus was. It about cut Jesus in half. Well, it didn't do any Paul any good either, in Silas. But they throw him in prison, see. But this was just the first of his beatings. We won't do that now, but we'll eventually do that. We'll go over and he'll show you all that happened to him. But to let you know, just a brief, he was beaten five times like that. Five times he was beaten with the cat of nine tails by the Jews. No, not only Jews. The Romans did once. But he was beaten. Like here, this is the Romans beating. You see, Philippi was a city not very far from Thessalonica. And about, 100 miles maybe or less. But anyhow, it was a town where the retirement village for Roman soldiers, see. So it was a totally Roman city as far as that's concerned. And they knew how to use the cat of nine tails. You can bet that. And they beat them. That's what they were talking about. That's what he was talking about in this book. And they were treated. In verses 2 it said they were treated, how shamefully they were treated, you know, in Philippia. We were bold, and let's go back to the text now, bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. They went through an awful lot to get this gospel to them. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's just horrible what they went through. I mean, when they beat them so bad like that, I mean, they just tore all this meat off their bones, their ribs showed, you know. It was awful. And not only that, they just threw them in a dirty old dungeon. How they kept getting blood poisoned, I don't have a clue. You know, I don't even have a clue. But God raised them up. He always did. Raised them up to do what? Preach the gospel, and he did. And we know he also was beaten with rods three times. We know he was stoned to death, you know. But he continued. We know he was shipwrecked. But the only way they could shut Paul up was they had to cut his head off. That's all he did, was preach the gospel. And I asked my pastor one time, why is it, look, what Paul went through to preach the gospel, and in all these 30 years you never preached it once. Why? Well, that made him mad. It really did. But that was the truth. He never preached it once. No, I was there. Every Sunday, you know, never preached it. If I wasn't there, there was some time that I had to take care of my dad when he was an old person. He couldn't go anywhere, so I had to stay with him on Sundays. But my wife was always there, and she said he never heard the gospel preached. So it was awful. Okay, let's go to verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit or uncleanness or of guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. You might, just for the fun of it, when you're doing this thing, you've got a pencil in your hand. Every place that you see gospel written, make a circle around it. You can start in verse 5 here in Thessalonians, the gospel there. It's written there, and then here we saw it in verse 2, and now in verse 4. Just put a circle around it, and before you get done with studying this word, you're going to see gospel everywhere, all over the place, and how the preachers today miss it, I don't know. They choke on it. They can't say it. The reason why is because Satan has totally taken over them. They are totally depraved. because they've turned their back on the gospel. And they're in trouble, big trouble as far as God is concerned. So, anyway, they trusted them with the gospel. And even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God, who testeth our hearts. You know, he tested them. My land, with beatings that he went through. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, or a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of man sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as other apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. Paul had to have been something else. It says, so verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel, circle it, of God only, but are also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. I mean, this man not only was he the toughest man in the world for what he went through, and he would not give up, he had a loving heart that we can't even comprehend. You see, and when I see fellow believers actually get mad at other believers because they didn't do exactly what they said he wanted them to do, and it just kills me inside, you see. We're to love people. We're to truly love them. If they make mistakes, we just love them all the more. And we show love to them in everything. And Paul did always. He always loved the people that he was talking to and teaching and writing these letters to greatly. And as believers, we should never, ever raise our voice at each other. We should love each other. I may not agree with you, but I can sit down and show you the scriptures and just throw my heart to you because I care for you. The last thing I want to do is hurt you. And nobody's perfect. We all fall short, see? That's why God had to die on that cross to make up for my sins. And I had plenty of them, but he took every one of them away. And now I'm his. Totally. No way I could be lost. There's no way possible. We're going to talk about that. When you've got God living in you, you can't lose your salvation because God's with you all the time. I'm not saying I don't make mistakes, but he picks me up and puts me right back on the right road. And he, I don't have to squall and bawl about it. He paid for my sins already. And he's going to, but I don't have a license to sin because I don't want to sin. I've got God living in me. And when you don't want to do something, you won't do it. You know, I don't like Brussels sprouts. You've already heard this before. And I won't eat them. I just won't do it, you know, because I don't like them. And that's the way I feel about sin. I don't want to sin. I don't like to sin. And if you don't like to sin, you don't want to sin, you're not going to sin. And it's not going to be a problem in your life because you've got Jesus in your life. You see, the world don't understand that. The church today don't understand that because they don't have the gospel. They don't preach the gospel, thus they don't have the Holy Spirit, see. They don't have a clue what it's like to have Christ living with you every minute of the day. And he does with me, and he will with you if you believe the gospel, you see. And that's what's so wonderful about it. We have Christ living in us. And this Paul, he preached the gospel, and he was just he just loved those people. Verse 11, as I know how you exhorted and encouraged and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. That's how he dealt with the people, and that's how I have to deal with my people. You know, no one's perfect, and they may make a mistake, but I love them, and I'm not going to yell at them. I'm going to just draw them closer to Jesus the best I can. You see, how wonderful it is. And it says, verse 13, it says, and for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth. Now, what did I tell you the truth is? Ephesians 1:13. The truth is the gospel, see. When he uses truth, he's received it as in the gospel, the truth, the word of God. See, that's the gospel, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Believe what? Always the gospel. He didn't point you to anything but the gospel. and you believe the gospel. When you believe the gospel, it just, and that's why they believe. When they believe Paul, this is how they truly believe it. And that's why they were able to do what they were doing, spreading the gospel throughout all Arcadia and Macedonia and all surrounding areas, where Paul and Silas didn't even have to mention it, because it was already done. How wonderful. Verses 14, for you, brethren, became followers of the church of God, which is in Judea, that are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things in your own country, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus, their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they have pleased not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, and fill up their sins always for the wrath of God to come upon them to the uttermost. In other words, not only did the Thessalonians have problems, obviously they were in abject paganism. And no one knew about the living God. Nobody had heard about the gospel. And when they accepted that, their life changed. And they walked away from the idols. They walked away from these false temples and from false idols and from false people, see. And then when they turned away from these people, they were probably persecuted. If they had businesses, they probably lost their businesses in some respect, because the people weren't going to buy for them, because they weren't like they used to be, see. And not only that, they had the Jews. See, there was a synagogue in every one of these towns. See, the Jews were scattered everywhere, see, from the Babylonian captivity after they turned them loose. They didn't go back to Jerusalem. Only 42,000 of them out of millions of them went back to Jerusalem to build the walls. And the rest of them were scattered all over the known world at that time. Every place that Paul went, there was a synagogue, and he'd went in and he'd preach to them, and they would turn him down, and then he'd go out and go take his gospel to the Gentiles. But then they would do everything they could do to stop him, to take Jesus to the Gentiles. They were really hated that, because there's no way that those people, Gentiles, could ever be saved. And they didn't know the law. You know, they didn't deal with the sacrifices. They didn't deal with the feast days. They didn't deal with, you know, the Sabbath or anything like that. They just got saved by the same God, and they couldn't stand that. And they persecuted them. The Jews persecuted them. But let's see what happened to the Jews when they did this. Let's just turn back in our Bibles. It's a Bible study, so let's go back. Let's go back here to. Zechariah. So if you turn back to Matthew, to the left, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book before that is Malachi, and then book before that is Zechariah. And Zechariah is in chapter 13. It's the last chapter, I think, of that book. No, it's 14 is. But 13. Zechariah chapter 13, and look at verses 8. Keep your hand in Thessalonians, because we're going to come back. We're going to look at this in Zechariah. And like we're talking about what happened to the Jews. See, the Jews are going to end up going. God has set them aside, see. Totally set them aside. And we ought to go to that also. But he set them aside, and he's called out the body of Christ, which is the church today. And we have it. We're totally different than Judaism. They're totally set aside now. But here's what's going to happen. Is he's going to come back to them and deal with them after he takes us home, the rapture. When he takes us out of here, then he's going to deal with the Jews. He's also going to deal with all the unbelievers on this earth that did not believe the gospel. And that's going to be the tribulation. This is what's going to happen. Verse 8, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that land, saith the Lord, that two parts of it shall be cut off and die, and a third part shall be left in." In other words, two-thirds of the Jews are going to be die. They're going to die. And they're going to be one-third that's going to be left. And then he's going to take, said, "I will bring that third part through fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will test them as gold is tested, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my Lord, is my God." But they're going to pay dearly, you know, for all the things that they did. If there was 15 million Jews today, I don't know what count is, but let's say that's what it is. That's close. 10 million are going to die because they rejected Jesus. 10 million. And 5 million will finally come around and they will look and they will see that he is who he said he was. And they will repent for what they did. And they will cry and they will mourn. You can just roll back to a few more verses in this chapter and it talks about it. So they're going to know Jesus. There's no ifs and buts about it, who he is, because they're going to see the nail-scarred hands. They're going to see the horrible gash in his side. They'll know who he is, and they're the ones that rejected him, see. So let's go back to the text. So these people that are giving these Thessalonians are going to pay dearly for what they do, because God is going to be on them. I've always called it like stink on a skunk. But anyhow, we won't see that. See, we will have nothing to do with the tribulation. We will be gone and out of here. I guess while we're here, we probably ought to do a little more Bible study. Let's turn to Romans. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 11, and you can see about the Jewish people and what's going to happen to them. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Let's look at verse 7. Romans chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which she seeketh? For, but the election." Who is the election? That's Peter, James, and John, and the 12. And then those people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. There was very few, but in proportion-wise. At first, there was 3,000, you know, when Peter gave his speech at Pentecost. And then we know another 3,000 come along. But they all disappeared. When really trouble got going, they went back to Judaism. Because, you see, today, you won't find any synagogue anywhere in this world that preaches that Jesus is the Messiah. They've turned their back totally on Jesus. And so Jesus has turned their back on them for now. He's not done with them yet. Just like I said, he's going to go back to them. But it says, accordingly, it said, and the rest were blinded. Accordingly as it was written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. They won't listen to you. They won't listen to you telling them about Jesus. No way. They're not allowed to even have a New Testament in her house. And now they can't even look at Isaiah, because Isaiah is pointing to Jesus. These people are totally blinded. Now look at turn the page to verse 25, and it'll give you an idea what's going to happen. It says, "For I would not," this is verse 25 of chapter 11 of Romans, "For I would not, brethren, that have you ignorant of this mystery, that you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until," until is a time word, "until what? The fullness of the Gentiles be come in." You see, they're going to be blinded until God takes the church out. We're the Gentiles, see. Till our fullness, when the fullness of this Gentile, when we become totally full, when what God has given the gospel to the last person he chose on this earth, and he accepts it, we're out of here. And then he's going to deal with them during the tribulation. We're not going through the tribulation. We're not going to be dealing with the wrath of God whatsoever, because we did what God told us to do. We believe the gospel, see. And when we did that, we have no sin. Where could he put wrath on us? We're not sinners as far as God is concerned, because our sins are paid for by Jesus Christ. And we've got God living in us, see. You see, God lives in us now. See, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all one. It's that Holy Spirit's in you. God's in you. Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. Man, that's going to change your whole life. And it did mine, totally. Okay? Now let's go back to where we were. I just wanted to show you exactly what happened to Israel. So, okay, let's look at verse 17. We're in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter verses 17. "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your faces with great desire. Therefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindereth." Satan hindereth. This is involved. Satan is involved tremendously in this earth. I never realized it, see. He is totally involved in every one of us. and all everything that's going on in this world, Satan is involved. And let me show you this. We're going to look at this for a little bit. This is important. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Let's turn to Matthew. Go back to Matthew. Go back to the left. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, go to Matthew, and we'll go to verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 8. This shows you exactly what's going on, and that how Jesus, this is Jesus and the devil, they're talking together. And it says, again, the devil, taking him up, he's talking about Jesus, into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And the glory of them, see, he showed them all the kingdoms of the world, the known world, see, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, begone, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. See, so, you know, but did he have them to give? Yes. Yes, when Adam dropped the ball, when he was over the whole world. See, he had it under all his hands. When he sinned, Satan took over, and he has this whole world in his hands. All the kingdoms in the world and the glory of them, he's got them, and he's got them today. And you wonder why we got problems. Well, it's very obviously Satan has got everybody, and he got all the world. And he's also joined the churches. See, he's joined the churches. Let me show you. Let's turn to. Go back to Second Corinthians. Go to Second Corinthians. Keep your hand in Thessalonians, but go to Second Corinthians, chapter 4. It's just to show you what he's got, and it's just scary. Truly, when I saw this, it just made me so mad I could spit. It was awful. Okay, look what chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh my, it's time to quit. We'll start with the next one. Lord, thank you so much for all you do for us, and I pray that you will just bring all these words to the people, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen.